I have to say, I'm always honored when I'm asked to preach here as someone who grew up in this church. It's super funny to see, to remember the red carpet and the banners that used to hang from the walls, to now be up here preaching. Am I center, by the way, on the cameras? Is this centered? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, God, we thank you that that we can gather. God, we thank you that that we can come together to worship you. Lord, we thank you, God, that that you are all-knowing, Lord, and that you are all-loving, God, and that regardless of where we are, Jesus, we know that you are with us and that you are proud of us, Jesus. And so we thank you, God, for all that you do for us, God, and we just pray that you'll be here with us today, Jesus. We pray this in your Jesus' name. Amen. So I have to ask, and I'm sure you've all can be there when I'm sure you're all with me when I say this, that you probably experienced when sharing your faith or sharing about church or inviting others to church, you kind of get a phrase of, oh, church, like that's not for me. I can't do that. Or maybe it's the classic church. I'm pretty sure if I walked into a church, I'd burst into flames. Or I just can't see myself as dedicated as some other people are who go to church. Or maybe it's even, if people knew what my past was like, I would not be accepted. I have way too many skeletons in my closet. And we know this isn't true. We know that we're all accepted, and we know that we're all welcome. A couple days ago, I was at work, and if you don't know where I work at Boys and Girls Club. I work in the youth department and with a bunch of youth that are street entrenched, a lot of different youth that you wouldn't see typically here on a Thursday. And we have a lot of different personalities. Now, this one particular youth holds a special place in my heart. And they can go from 0 to 100 like that, super quick. And anything can set them off. It could just be the right thing, someone says the right thing, and it's just, they're all the way up here. And this one particular day, they were having a really rough day. They have their good days, but this was a really rough day. And it was one of those days where we call it at work stepping out of curiosity, in which case I am no longer curious about what is happening in that youth's life, because I don't want anything to do with them at the moment. So it was this day that I was stepping out of a little bit of curiosity. And they come up to me and they say, Cade, I need you to help me with my resume right now. And I said, right now? He's like, yep, there's 20 minutes until we close. He's like, I need it right now. And I'm like, okay, well, I actually can't print it for you because I don't have access to the printer. And he's like, well, can't you ask someone else? I'm like, nope, because my boss is not here, and they are the only one who has access to the printer. And I'm like, if you really need it, I can email it to you. He's like, fine, but we need to do it right now. Okay, let's go to my office. So I went to my office, and a little backstory as to my position. I am the Youth Transitional Launch Facilitator. If you ask me what that means, I will tell you, I don't know. But the short version is that I basically facilitate activities in the youth room in particular, and I make sure that everyone is happy and having a good time and building students' capacities and stuff like that, and mindfulness, wellfulness, stuff like that. And so my office is also called the wellness room, and it's a room where youth can just come in and sit if they're having a rough time and just relax. So we walk in, and this student, they give me their cards, their certificates, and they say they want to add their certificates to their resume. So I'm like, okay, it's easy. Don't have to say anything. So I just start typing away. And out of nowhere, they say, okay, I have a question. I'm like, shoot. He says, if you're Christian, why do you have a little LGBTQ flag on their bulletin board? I look at him and I say, why not? And he's like, well, according to you guys, God doesn't agree with that. I pause for a long, I paused for a minute and I said, that's a really good question. And I say to him, I say, does that mean God doesn't love them any less? He's like, I don't know, I don't go to church. I say, okay, look at it this way. You do a lot of things in your life that I don't agree with, and yet I still love you like I would love my own siblings. I love every other student that walks into this youth room like I would love their, like I would love my own sibling. I see you all as my brothers and sisters. And I said, God's love is like that. Just because God doesn't agree with a lifestyle, God, I do things that God doesn't agree with every day. Yet he still loves me. And he wouldn't love me any less. And then, of course, this student says, you love me? That's weird, man. And the moment is gone. And while I'm saying this, my coworker, who also shares my office, is in the back corner. She's also a Christian, and she is trying so hard not to crack a smile because of the firing line that this one youth has put me in. And it's in this moment that inspired the message that I'm going to give you today, which I have called Invitation. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be reading out of Luke 14, verses 7 to 24. A little bit of backstory as to what, as you are looking for the verse. Jesus is at a feast. Now, some translations say it's a wedding feast. Some just say it's a banquet. Regardless, it is a feast for an occasion. And Jesus is noticing that certain guests, the Pharisees, are trying to get a seat closer to the head of the table, which is the closer you are to the head of the table, the more honoring your position, the more important you are. You can look at it kind of like a wedding party. The wedding party has their own table. The closer they are to the bride and the groom, you know, the bridesmaid, the best man, they sit closer. Kind of like that. And so, seeing this, it sparks Jesus's these two lessons in versions of parables that he's about to speak. Now, if you're wondering what a parable is, think of it as like a lesson, but teaching it through a story. And Jesus would often do this so that it would force his disciples to think of the message he's saying rather than just him straight up giving them the answer. And so if we start at Luke 14, verses 7. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit at the seat of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed. And you will have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then, when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. For they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant returned told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you will speak through me, that you will preach the message, that I will be able to preach the message that you have, God. And I pray, God, that those who need to hear this will hear this. And I pray that you will work in the lives of all those that we sit with. So in both passages, Jesus is teaching humility by putting the prideful Pharisees in their place, stating that they only invite the wealthy, famous, and their friends, while excluding the poor, crippled, and marginalized. Both parables involve a banquet, both of which symbolize the church community and enlarge the word of God and the kingdom of heaven. So if you're looking for a big idea for this sermon, it's the following. Jesus' teaching on humility is not only about how we as believers should posture ourselves when offering the invitation, but it also tells us who is deserving of the kingdom of heaven and who has a right to hear the good news of the Lord. One more time in case you're taking notes. Jesus' teaching on humility is not only about how we as believers should posture ourselves when offering the invitation, but it also tells us who is deserving of the kingdom of heaven and who has a right to hear the good news of the Lord. So this brings me to my first point, which we're covering the first parable that Jesus teaches, which is in verses 7 to 14. I call it sitting at the foot of the table. Jesus' analogy for sitting at the foot of the table is a constant reminder to us as believers as our role. Right? We are to sit and be with those who have no status, to sit and eat with the marginalized and those who have been frowned upon and cast aside by others so that they may know that they are invited to the feast. Now, this doesn't have to look like in this building. This can look very different. It can look like taking someone out for coffee or even just sitting with someone. The idea here is that we have to recognize where we need to sit rather than where we want to sit. It is by sitting and eating with those who are spiritually hungry that God begins to work in their lives. Sometimes it doesn't take much. One thing I've learned about working at a youth center is that it doesn't take much to get a student to talk. Very often I can tell right off the get-go if a youth is having a bad day. And I go up to them and I say, "Hey, like, how's it going?" And they're like, "It's all right." I'm like, "Cool. You mind if I sit here and just do some attendance stuff?" I don't even have to talk to them. Next thing you know, I'm getting a whole spiel as to why their day sucked, and then on that to why their week sucks. And because of that, their month sucks, and then they've completely written off the entire year. I didn't even say anything. I just was on my computer. But it's the idea of sitting with them. Right? Sitting at the foot of the table, sitting with people who don't know that they're invited. It's by listening and sitting in true empathy do we represent the Most High and loving God, showing them that there is nothing they could do which would separate them from God's love. It is by doing so that God will recognize our heart and reward those who expect nothing in return. Right? When Jesus is telling us in this passage, he's telling us, "Oh, sit at the foot of the table, for you'll be rewarded." He's not saying, "Hey, you should sit with those people so that I can give you something." That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is he wants us to humble ourselves so that he can exalt us. Right? The idea of the host coming and saying, "Friend, we have a table for you sitting at the front. Come." It is the action of sitting with those who can offer us nothing in return. Right? The idea where when Jesus talks about, he says, don't invite your friends, relatives, or rich neighbors, for they'll invite you back, because they will offer you something else. They'll say, oh, like you brought me out for coffee, I'll return the favor, I'll take you out for coffee. No, that's missing the point. Jesus wants us to sit with people who can't offer us anything, right? He wants us to expect nothing in return. It's giving and expecting and not expecting something back. It's showing that we care to invite them to the feast, because these people don't know that they're invited, right? It's an open invite, but they have no idea. They didn't even know there was an invite or even a feast. And that brings me to my second point, which is the kingdom of heaven is for all who are hungry. And this is the second parable, verses 15 to 24. And this is pretty cut and dry, this parable. It's obvious, well, maybe it's not obvious for you, but to me, it's obvious that the servant in question is Jesus and the host is God, right? The host who is putting on the banquet is God. He's preparing this banquet. The banquet is prepared, so he sends his servant, Jesus, to go and tell others about the banquet. And it becomes very clear that the wealthy and the self-absorbed have no interest in attending, right? The kingdom of heaven is not for the wealthy and the self-absorbed. Not to say that they couldn't get in if they repent, but those who push off the invitation, those who say, oh, no, I can't, you know, I just got this new land, I gotta go check it out. First of all, why wouldn't you check out land? Why would you buy land without checking it out first? That doesn't make sense. Also, the guy who buys 5 oxen and says, I wanna try them out, why would you buy oxen if you didn't know they were good? Also, the guy who gets married, I wanna know if there was like a modern version of this and they would say, oh, yeah, ball and chain, you know, I can't come. That doesn't make sense. I don't have to explain to you why that one doesn't make sense. But the wealthy have rejected God's invitation. And so God invites whom society has deemed undeserving and declares that, no, you are deserving. You are more than deserving. He says, come. The banquet is ready. That's it. That's the invitation. It's ready. Everyone's invited. It's for the broken, the poor, the mistreated, the marginalized, the betrayed, the hungry, abandoned, lost. If anyone here fits that category, if you feel that you fit that category, I want to let you know, it's ready. The feast is ready. Just come and eat. You don't need anything special to get into the feast. You don't need to look a certain way or act a certain way. I'll tell you one thing. If you look at me and you look at my mom, we worship very differently. My mom worships in her seat, puts her hands up, sings, maybe drifts a little bit into the alleyway, cuts some people off. Meanwhile, if you look for me, you won't be able to find me because I'm in the back corner pacing. We all worship differently. You don't have to be someone who is yelling and screaming praises, although that is accepted if you are that person. But you're more than welcome to just be someone who sits in their chair, who is quiet. Because God wants to know the real you. He wants to eat with you, right? He wants to sit with you and say, so tell me about yourself. Even though he already knows all about you, he wants to see you, he wants to hear how you see yourself, so that he can tell you how he sees you. At work, there are many youth who I often call my shadows, in the sense of I'll just be doing stuff, washing dishes, going around checking on youths, and I'll hear this like footsteps behind me, and I'll turn around, and there's just like a few of them. And I'm like, do you need anything? Like, what's up? And they're like, I'm like, so you're just following me? They're like, okay? Let's move on. And one day, one of them comes to me and tells me about how they're getting bullied at school, about how they're getting bullied on how they appear, and they feel like they can't socialize with certain groups because of the way they look. And the entire time, I just wanted to be like, oh man, like, I wanted to tell them how God would see them. Now, obviously, I can't, given my position. But I wanted to say that if you feel like you can't come in to the banquet because of how you look, or because of your past, or because of something, or because you just, or you feel that you can't, you feel that you'd be judged, I want to let you know that that's not the case. This invitation is open. You just have to walk in. And if you were never officially invited, know that you don't have to be, but consider this your official invitation. You are invited to come in and eat. Because you don't need to believe in order to walk in the doors and eat. Now, when I say walk into the doors and eat, I'm not talking about a church. I'm talking about the Word. The Word is open for anyone. You don't have to believe to open to check out our beliefs. You don't have to believe to check out God. Say, well, what's this about? God has invited you to eat with him in the form of his son, Jesus, so that you may both know one another. All who are hungry are welcome and will be offered a seat at the table. At college, I remember we have like a cafeteria, and there's some like rectangle tables and there's some circular tables. And everyone would sit at the circular tables just because it was easier to talk to people. And I remember my first year, we would pack out a circle table. People would come over and they look and they'd like, I don't think I can fit. And then we would see them and say, no, like, we'll make room. And so the next thing you know, we had like chairs pushed together to the point where the armrests were like grinding against each other. We'd have people come and sit at the table and sit on the armrests. That's how much we would pack out a table. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's what the banquet is like. If you look and you say, oh, there's no room for me, I can't fit. No, there's room. You can come in and eat. Because it's just as much my feast as it is yours. Sure, I've been sitting at the table for longer, but I don't have any intention of leaving anytime soon. So come and sit. Let's chat. Let's talk. Let's be merry. Even if you're just coming in, you don't have to eat. Maybe you're just coming in to check it out, see what it's like. You say, oh, like, this is cool. I might leave and I might come back later. That's okay. We'll see you later. So in conclusion, those are really short. So in conclusion, I want to review. So first we have sitting at the foot of the table. As believers, we need to sit with those who can't offer us anything. We need to offer them the greatest gift and expect them to give us nothing. The best thing that they can give us is that we watch them prosper in the Word. That's the best gift we can ask for. And maybe your invitation falls flat on its face. That's okay. There's always tomorrow. Or maybe it's not supposed to come from you. It was supposed to come from someone else. And that's okay too. Every person is different. And know that if it falls flat and you feel like, maybe I should have said something else. No, you said what you needed to say. And it'll work out. Because we gotta have faith. And the second point is the kingdom is all for those who are hungry. If you're sitting here today and you're curious and you're spiritually hungry, know that the doors are open. The banquet's ready. You just need to walk in. Come sit for a minute. You don't have to eat the food. Maybe you just want to check it out. That's okay. Come check it out. As you leave here today, I want to give you this one phrase that I think encompasses this whole thing. Those who believe eat with those who are hungry, so that those who are hungry know where to eat. Right? We know where the food is, and we're going to show, and we need to eat with those who don't know where the food is, so that they know where to eat. The kingdom of heaven is open. Whether you left the banquet a while ago, and now you're just coming back, because maybe you felt a call. Welcome, eat. Come and sit. Tell us about your journeys. Tell us about your life. Because we will sit with you in empathy, and we will know, and we will hear your story without a hint of judgment. Just as Jesus did, as he sat with sinners, as he sat with those who the Pharisees didn't want to be seen with. We'll sit with you as Christ did. You are welcome. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you, God, that you are loving. We thank you, God, that you care. We thank you that you are willing to sit with us and eat, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Son to personally invite us into this place, Jesus, to the banquet that you have so thoughtfully prepared, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are ever so judgeless, Jesus, that you tend to the weary, that you tend to the poor, that you tend to the marginalized, Jesus. And know, God, that we do our very best to welcome them in, Jesus. We thank you, God. We pray this in your Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.